Hello, my name is Hayden Thompson and welcome to the Pack Heavy Podcast. Now, this show is really for anyone in the hospitality and food manufacturing industries that uses flexible packaging to get their products to market. Here, I'll be talking about everything food packaging and providing you with the information and knowledge that you need to get the right food package into your hands and into the hands of your consumer. I'm really excited to be interviewing guests just like you who have traveled the path that you're on so that you can learn from their successes and failures and engage in the mindset required to go all in on your vision. Now, I personally call this mindset the pack heavy mentality, and it is driven by deliberate actions such as making the decision to go all in on your vision for your business. So I'm talking about gathering market intelligence, putting a strong plan in place, organizing the appropriate resources, and then executing on your strategy with precision. So if you're packing heavy on your vision, you're definitely in the right place, and I'm really excited to have you here. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode number 9 of the Pack Heavy Podcast. On today's episode, I'm excited to have Sarah Goodman, founder and CEO of Chiwi's Kiwi Chips, along with me today. Chiwi's is a business located in Squamish, BC that Sarah created that is solely focused on creating 100% all-natural snacks that taste great and centered around the amazing superfood kiwi fruit. Sarah is a serial entrepreneur skilled in marketing, publicity, product development, fitness, and nutrition. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. So where are you located?
I'm in Squamish. Yep.
Awesome. What a beautiful part of the world. Yeah.
It's great.
Nice. And what brought you to Squamish?
Well, I'm originally from Ontario and I came out to visit a friend in Whistler when I was 19, and I ended up living there for 5 years and then was in the city for about a decade. And then we decided to meet in the middle and buy in Squamish, my partner and I. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Close to the city, good for business because I can shoot down, usually not during COVID now, but I can just shoot down and deal with anything, but still takes 40 minutes to come back home and be in nature again.
Yeah, it's kind of the ideal location, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I've got a similar story. I came out from Australia in 2007 and did a ski season at Lake Louise, mm-hmm. and met my wife in the first week of being over there and done the whole back and forth thing between Australia and Canada for all of these years. But we've settled here in Richmond and started a family. But yeah, we've often thought that Squamish should be an awesome place to raise kids and start a life. So I'm sure you're enjoying it.
Yeah, lots of people think the same. It's growing really fast.
Yeah, I see that. I see real estate prices are soaring there too.
It's great and awful at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt. And do you get up into the hills for a ski often, or do you snowboard?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I snowboard. We've had season passes for 17 years to Whistler. Yeah. Yeah, it's good running your own business. You know, you can do what you want most of the time. But it's a give and take. So I try to get up at least 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you've got your dog Nora that you take out with you as well at times.
Yeah. We go ski touring. We do a lot of hiking, lots of outdoor stuff. So she's around with us a lot of the time. It's good. It's good too when you're working on your own business, you can get like so just like tunnel vision into things for so many hours and not get up. So she like reminds me to get off my computer and get up and go for a walk and not stare at a screen for 8 hours straight, really.
Yeah, to get up and have a stretch. Yeah, that's definitely important. I find the same thing. I don't have a dog running around the office here, but yeah, definitely get up and having a stretch is pretty critical because my hamstrings get a bit tight.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Chiwi's, tell me, where was the idea born? How did it start? Like, give me the lowdown.
So I spent the last almost 8 years in tech. So I was running a consumer health tech company, but before that, I was a nutritionist and I taught people how to eat well. I did like talks at grocery stores and I wrote a food blog and I actually made a lot of money just selling snacks I made at the clinic. But I don't know. I was always just really into making things that my friends who weren't super health freaks would like to eat and not feel like they were being forced to eat like as a health food. So that's just something that I do all the time with like, I love making food and cooking. And so with Chiwi's, this was just something I made all the time for camping and backcountry. Like it's a really light snack, like weight wise. So bringing it in a backpack on multi-day trips, like it's just a good snack to have. And I have a huge sweet tooth. So they taste like Sour Patch Kids almost. Like it's just this perfect fruit that isn't utilized at all. And so I would make these kiwi chips and I would bring them around and people would always tell me the same thing. Like, oh my God, this is so cool. I've never seen anything like it. And I just always thought it's like a kiwi, really? Like it's not that different. But then when And so I made them for years. But then when I thought about starting a little side hustle while I was still running the tech company, I was like, oh, maybe this could be an actual thing. And I started the process of developing like a temporary brand and a temporary package, which I just got 100 designed, and I would make them and put them in this package that looked pretty good, not as good as our packages now, but it looked like it could potentially be on a shelf. And then bringing them on hikes and stuff and having people, I would just bring them out and people would be like, oh, what's that? And I would just say, oh, it's this thing I bought. And then I would get honest feedback instead of just my friends or family being like, oh yeah, it's great, you made it, it's perfect. And after I got a lot of feedback from people saying that they would buy something like this, I decided to spend a lot more time and invest in my own money and branding and even just like consulting with people from the food business to find out, is this viable? Could I make it for a cost that would be able to give margins to all the different steps for that you need to, like your distributor and broker and the retailer? And, you know, I learned for probably about a year. And when I figured out it was feasible, I went to part-time with the tech company and I just started doing the kiwi chip thing. Yeah. For the other.
Yeah. And what a smart idea to sort of, yeah, leverage your full-time job and your spare time to get it up and running. And, you know, that market validation that you were doing with your friends and family and, you know, building confidence in your idea, like that's so critical, isn't it? And, how many units did you think that you sold to sort of build that confidence in what you were doing before you decided to double down and invest more of your time and energy into it?
Well, I think like the first portion of time that I was doing that testing was before I had that temporary brand. And that was just like, coincidentally, I'd have them around and so many people would tell me that kind of thing. But I think I got 250 bags made of the like temporary bag. And then, yeah, I just brought them around and gave them to people, gave them to lots of moms and like had their kids try them. I had them film their kids. And even with the packaging, I wanted to see what people got, like understood from it and what they didn't. And the package like was nothing like it is now, but you know, it said kiwi chips on the front and people would open them and be like, whoa, they're kiwis. And like, it was like, oh my God, like they can't tell that from the bag. Like you need to have a picture of the product on it. I just learned a lot. And so I think about 250 bags being sent to people, you know, all over Canada and then doing like face-to-face type stuff. But I felt pretty confident. I also did some courses, I don't know if you call them courses. There are basically 1 to 2 days of just finding out different things about the food industry. And so there's always panelists or people talking who have been around for a long time. And so I would ask them as well. And I got enough feedback that I felt confident that it could be something that worked.
That's really cool. So yeah, obviously leveraging the packaging and like getting that social proof with the videos, how were you spinning that back out into the world to sort of build a following as well and building a email list, or what was your approach there?
No, this was way before there was a website, anything.
Okay.
I don't know if this will work phase.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this for fun on my spare time. So like, if it does, that'd be cool. And if it doesn't, I'm not like going to be too upset about it. Mm. But a lot of the people have now followed along and have become customers and follow us and, but yeah, I wasn't like building any kind of list with them.
Yeah, that's cool. So I guess your approach was sort of more, you know, qualitative marketing, questions. And so did you have like a series of questions that you would ask people, or was it sort of more off the cuff when you were sort of going through that process?
A lot of the questions were answered in those videos, like
cool,
right away.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a pretty good judge of character. I would watch people's reactions from the second they got the bag. Like I could tell what was wrong, what was right. It was like mostly positive. There were still some negative things, but you know, when I found that it was like 90% plus positive, I was just like, okay, good. And even like a lot of the research was still going into stores being like, would this be a good fit? Like, and I talked to a lot of people in the health food kind of industry and the natural food industry. And, you know, I just consistently heard super positive things. So,
That's great.
I just decided to press go.
Yeah. What about developing the brand? So you just said, obviously you printed up 250 bags and you were getting feedback on that and, you know, getting that validation that, you know, or even the feedback that people didn't necessarily know what was in the bag. So you had to put the actual product on the bag so that it was really obvious. What other kinds of signs did you get from the packaging that, you know, you could get instant feedback from?
One thing that was really awesome was I did a consulting session with this woman who runs a company called Good to Grow. Yep. And she consults with food businesses. Her name's Andrea. And we did a 3-hour session together, and I came with like all these questions and all of these numbers for her. And oh my God, it was like one of the most helpful things I did the whole time. But she saw the initial package and she was like, listen, go to a store that you want to be on the shelves. So I went to Whole Foods. She's like, put the bag on the shelf near products that are like it or where you think you would be situated. And you're going to see right away what's wrong with it. And so I did that. I took a bunch of pictures and I went to Whole Foods and did it. And oh my God, immediately I realized that like the colors weren't bright enough. It didn't pop at all. Like it was just such a good learning experience. I would definitely tell anybody who's thinking about creating a consumer packaged good product that's going to be on a store shelf to do that, because it like was so eye-opening.
Yeah.
And then I hired a woman who works with a lot of big consumer packaged goods brands. And she's actually in Squamish too. Her name's Rochelle. She runs Zesty Brands, but she helped me. Her and I developed the branding together and the package together. And I think like, it's great.
Yeah, it is. It's such an approachable package and mm-hmm. it's so obvious what's in the bag and mm-hmm. yeah, it's so current and I'm going to use the word on trend, but it is, it's beautiful. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you're proud of it because it sort of sells itself, doesn't it? Like you look at the bag and you know exactly what's going on.
Well, it's funny. We were part of this like top 20 new food groups or new food brands in this conference, like right before COVID hit. And so it was actually put on by Good to Grow, and a ton of buyers from like big stores or big distribution companies came by, and we hadn't even launched yet. I think she just really wanted to add us into this list. But a lot of them were like, oh yeah, this looks like it's already been on shelves for years. Like I think a lot of, like I come from a marketing branding background. So I noticed when I was getting into this business that a lot of people really do come from like, I have made this product in my kitchen and it's really great and I love it. And they learn slowly about the branding. And I came into it and I was like, this is about brand. Mm-hmm. Like that's a big thing. Of course the product has to taste good and be good, but the brand is just like front and center. So I've always had that in mind.
Mm. So where did you get that insight from? And obviously you've come from the tech industry and you were working at Vital Senses and you know, you've got all of that background and experience. And I did a little digging on you and I saw that you were on Dragon's Den and I want to get into that a little bit later, but where did you get all of that insight and experience from?
So it's Vital Signs.
Sorry, Vital Signs.
No, yep. All good.
Yeah.
We had a consumer health tech product and I came on board as the director of marketing only because I had worked with a lot of the people, like their target demographic that they were looking for, I was already working with in the nutrition space. And they were a startup, didn't have a lot of money. And so I came on to help them part-time. It really snowballed. Like I loved it. I loved developing a product. I loved making like a user experience for a tech product. But it was also physical. It was just, I learned for years by trial and error. And it kind of made starting Chiwis so much more enjoyable probably and less stressful. Like it's still stressful, but there was a lot of things that I just kind of knew how to do and didn't stress me out as much. Still very stressful, but I don't know, the experience there, I learned a lot, and it's actually so refreshing to be not in tech and working in food. It's so much nicer, especially as a woman. I don't know, tech's tough and I pitched all the time and it was just like, you know, there was some really, really nice experiences, a lot of really bad experiences. So I'm like absolutely loving this swap, but I'm still a majority shareholder in Vital Signs. I still help them all the time. I'm on the board, like a product, like they're launching a bunch of new apps soon. And so I still help out as much as I can, but it all kind of like was a learning experience. Every single like thing I think I've done is just snowballed into making this as enjoyable as it can be.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And so it sounds like you put a lot of time and energy into your upfront market research and product validation, which makes so much sense. And like you go to like study business or entrepreneurship, and that is where all of the weight of your upfront time should be spent. So that makes so much sense to me. How did you develop your initial business model? Like what was your initial thoughts on how you were going to go about building out this business, you know, in terms of, you know, building out the product itself, putting it in the bag, and then, you know, you've got your marketing, your sales, and distribution. So tell me about your initial ideas and how it sort of pivoted and changed throughout time to get to where you are right now.
So honestly, I wanted to develop this company so that I could have a company that sustained my lifestyle and I could just go mountain biking, snowboarding, and do all that stuff whenever I wanted. Yeah. Which is like the dream, obviously. And I had this like really fluffy idea of creating a business and having a facility in Squamish and hiring women and giving back to the community and all of that. And so my first idea was to self-manufacture, which I'd been doing, but you know, buy equipment and do that in-house. And we moved into our facility a year ago, and I bought equipment and I hired a couple of people. And I realized so fast that it was like, I'm not a factory manager. And also there's so many aspects that are just like so important that aren't my forte. Then COVID hit and couldn't have any people working in a space. It was a lot of work. Like self-manufacturing was just like, I was in there for like 14 hours a day. We weren't able to make enough product. Like the demand was so high. And so I just decided to press pause and I sold all the equipment. And I talked to a lot of people who were like, if someone else can make the product for you just as good or better, get them to do it. And then you focus on what you're good at. And what I'm good at is like business development and marketing and branding and sales type stuff. So I shut things down and I spent many months trying to find the perfect manufacturing partner. And like, you'd think looking at our product, oh, it's just like a kiwi chip. It's a dried chip. It looks super simple. It's very hard to make and make well. Cause like what we do, like our chips are, we want them to be very bright in color. We want them to start off crispy and end up like chewy, like candy. And it was just really hard. And then I guess like 5 months ago, we probably found our perfect manufacturing partner and they do such a better job than we did. And they can do it at scale. So it kind of changed. So now we don't have a facility. Our headquarters is in Squamish. I am able to focus on all of the things I like to do and leave the things that I'm not good at to the professionals. So we outsource now, which is something I didn't think was going to happen before. And it'll help us grow way faster. Investing in equipment and leasing space and safety protocols and the insurance, everything is just, it's a lot. And it's not something that I wanted to do.
And they're overheads that are really, really hard to maintain with margins in this industry as well, especially once you build in distribution and so on.
Yeah.
And the amount of labor that's involved. And I can't even imagine. So it would have actually, like, was it an easy decision to make? Like when you mapped it out and you looked at it and you were able to compare current state to future state, was it an easy decision for you or was it something that you sort of labored over for a little bit?
I wondered about it, but like, it was almost just my personal experience of like how grueling it was, that it was almost not worth it. Like unless we had like investors for, you know, to invest in a giant facility with insanely expensive equipment that, and like, it just all seemed very, very risky. I would have had to put so much money up front when finding, and I was scared I wouldn't find a partner because these people don't advertise themselves. You have to look really hard. And then we had samples coming in from like all these different people and, you know, lots of it wasn't good. So that was scary. But when I thought about not having to deal with the manufacturing, I knew that that was what I wanted. I wanted to focus on other things. And at first I thought, oh, I want this company to be something, you know, like that's just sustains my lifestyle. And then it started getting like more popular and people were really excited and we started getting investors. And I was like, oh, this can be bigger than that, I think.
That's great. Yeah. And so when you were going through the process of evaluating your co-packers and your manufacturers and so on, what was your criteria there?
They had to have references. They had to have a facility that had equipment that could produce our chips in a like very good way. They had to be able to scale and they had to be able to want to work with us to create this product because it's not something that's available. Like, this is all something that was done to spec for us. And we had a couple options, but I'm really glad we ended up with the people we did. I think they're going to be a great partner, like moving forward and growing for many, many years. It was just really the people we had to get along with them. Like, we needed to have a really good business relationship, which we do. And that was like definitely shown in what happened in November when we had our, we had a huge manufacturing slip because it was the first time they had made, you know, 500 pounds of chips for us for our first packaging run, and they were wrong and they took complete ownership of it and we fixed it. It took a bit of time and it was really annoying, but like it was fixed. So like they've been really good so far. And I think the business relationship is one of the most important parts.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know what? I see so many similarities in that and the decision that you just made and obviously coming on board with us at Foodpak and, you know, leveraging the, you know, us as distributors as well, because you were previously getting your packaging directly from China, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, a lot of people do labor over the, like if I do just pull it into a sort of packaging context for a second, you know, a lot of people do go direct to China and that's gonna, that's benefits. But it's also at times, you know, like you were just suggesting before, like, you know, there is time involved in, you know, finding that manufacturer, obviously the communications, and then there's a little bit of risk involved at times as well. And you're also, you know, bearing that full burden of the, of any risk that's associated with any decline in quality, if there is any. So it sounds like, was that an easy decision for you to make to come on board at Foodpak because of our warehousing program and because we're a distributor as well?
Yeah, I love the idea. Like I have been working with directly with China and I do have a good relationship with that company there.
Yeah.
But I think having you guys as an in-between to be looking out for Chewies, especially like in quality and just having your expertise is worth it. And then yes, being able to free up the cash flow 100%, like especially for growth, you know, like if we're going to be having to do runs every month and, you know, and we had to just spend like $20,000 on packaging up front, it would be really, really hard. So
100%, especially, yeah, for small business and people trying to get off the ground, cash flow is king.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really hard to operate it without it. So yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, we have conversations with quite a few of our prospects and customers out there. And obviously there's certain, you know, we're looking for certain criteria within a business to be able to offer that as well in terms of like volume and so on. But yeah, it makes so much sense. And it's a mutually beneficial partnership in that respect as well. So we love it. And we're really glad to have you on board. So thank you very much for that decision. So you're getting out to market for the first time and that's a really exciting prospect. So, you know, where do you see obviously this going for Chewies? And like, you know, you're about to hit the ground and you're going to get some, you're going to get some real feedback again in terms of like larger scale. Where do you see Chewies going over the next sort of 12 to 18 months and then further into the future?
Well, I'd really like to just get a handle on how they're being, like the chips are being sold in stores and how stores like them and customers like them. So far we've had some really good feedback, but like I'm always just waiting for something bad to happen.
Yeah.
But so far it's been good. I want, you know, we're going to start with BC and make sure that everything's good to go. Our marketing's on point and then move into across Canada. I have tons of family in Ontario. They already want them there.
Yeah.
I've already seen requests coming in for like different stores there, but I really wanted to not go too big right away. So yeah, Canada over the next 12 to 18 months and then into the US. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's there's some huge goals there, but I know that you're definitely going to achieve them. And do you always, so like, it sounds to me as though you're an extremely calculated person. You find it easy to make decisions once you've evaluated exactly what it is that you've got in front of you. And you're not afraid to make the decision and then step into it. Talk to me about your mindset, like, and the daily mindset that you have to get into as an entrepreneur and somebody who has obviously got this operation. You've invested not only your time and energy, but also your own finances into the business. And yeah, talk to me about the mindset that you sort of have to engage in daily.
Oh, it's just a roller coaster of emotions all the time. But like when it's good, it's so good. And when it's bad, like, oh my God, when we had that mishap in November, I had made this huge stink about launching on social media. And not like we have tons of followers, but like to my, to our Chewies followers. And then to like, I've got tons of followers on Instagram and Facebook. And so I was just putting it out there and oh my God, then I get down to the packaging facility and everything's wrong. And I have to like put my tail between my legs and it just felt so, so crappy. And then, you know, like there's anxiety after that. And so that mindset of like, okay, wait, like, can we do this? Like, will it ever be right? Even until like the second I got to the packaging facility last week, for our first giant run, like with the good product, I was still not convinced it was going to be okay. Like I had approved samples sent to me. I had had the packaging facility taste them and try them. And not until I saw them with my own eyes did I believe it was happening.
Yeah.
And so that was really, really, I don't know, a very anxiety ridden time. But now it's just like, great. We've like kept on getting deliveries to the office here, and we keep selling out in Squamish. Like people are just buying cases. The word of mouth is great. And our distributing partner, they've received their first big order going into stores. And so, yeah, I'm super excited. It feels really good right now. You know, but we'll see what happens. My mindset daily though, like I try not to stress out too hard. Like that's why I live here. Like yeah. I'll get up, have coffee and just take my dog for a walk. And really like, if you're out there looking at mountains, like nothing else really matters. You know, like as long as we're like healthy and happy, it's good. I really want this to be successful, but like if it doesn't, I have to be okay with that. And just be like, okay, we live in a great place. We have access to good things. Life is fine.
Yeah, a lot to be grateful for. And it's amazing how like when you're in amongst nature and those huge big mountains that we're also familiar with here on the West Coast, you sort of find this element of sort of that sort of, what would you call it? That kind of stoic philosophy of feeling really insignificant in the world around these huge, big natural features. And does that sort of, so you sort of ground yourself in your environment. Do you get out in nature daily? Like that's part of your routine?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, if I have time, I'll go up and like, we'll go ski touring and all that time, I'm usually not thinking anything about the business.
You're not,
you know, no. And like, okay. And in the summer a lot, we'll just go camp, no cell service. Like I have no problem. I remember in tech, I did so many competitions with other founders, and man, so many times people were like, oh yeah, well, how many hours do you work a day? Like, holy shit. Are you serious? 8, like maybe 10, like, but I'm not like, that's not cool. Why are you so happy? You work 16 hours a day. That sucks. Like, no, like I need to get away and disconnect or else I'd lose my mind. Mm-hmm. And it would make me not enjoy what I'm doing as well. So like, I have to like what I'm doing and be motivated to keep going.
Yeah. So on that, going right to the very, very start, before you even got started with Chiwis, but you knew that you wanted to sort of move into a new space. So in like, I know that you have obviously come from the role of the organization at Vital Signs, and that was a great organization to work for, and you're still involved there. But it sounds to me as if you sort of, you knew that it wasn't for you and that you had to make some life changes. And was that because of the stress of the industry?
I actually didn't know that I had to make a change or anything. No? I just kind of started to work on Chiwis on the side because I thought it was fun. And I really love the creative part of starting a business. Like all of that stuff is so, so fun. And when I started getting momentum and started talking to people, and I knew that I would need to put a bit more time in, I kind of was like, okay, I can pull back. You know, and after like 7 years of talking about the same thing over and over, you know, you get over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess like I had been burnt out with the tech stuff at like in the first few years, but you know, it was just like, oh, this is a cool, different thing. Like change is good. So, I just moved a little bit of my time over.
Yeah, just a slow swap. So, you know, obviously being on the board and being an advisor in that business, you sort of obviously see the value of, you know, giving your time. Do you leverage or lean on any advisors to you? Like who do you have advise you in your business? Or do you have a core group of people that you rely on when you're sort of stuck and you need to move through something? And how do you sort of work through that?
I've got a really great support circle of just like family and friends that I can just unload to a lot of the time. But for business stuff, it's, you know, I've met a few really awesome people in this food business. Like Andrea, who I already mentioned, she helped a lot, like a lot of, in that 3-hour session, I'd come to her with a lot of information. I was very prepared, but what I learned from that, was just so important for growing the business. And then I've been meeting with a couple founders of very successful food brands who want to come on as advisors, and we like, we'll go mountain biking and talk business and stuff like that. Like, and so I'm actually meeting with one tomorrow on the mountain.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important to be able to, kind of invite people into your thought process. And cause like I could make 1,000 mistakes. I'd rather make like 10, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm always open to, talking to people who have way more experience than I do to help move things quicker or do things better.
And how have you found these people? Is it a matter of like just, is it a natural, is it somebody naturally being introduced to you, or are you going out and you're finding these people? And what's your approach to networking?
A lot of the times, like if I went to any events and saw people talk, I would reach out after. Like that's what I did with our distributor. Like we have a distributor for BC, and the president of the distribution company was presenting at an event. And I reached out to him after and I said, hey, like I'm launching this product soon. This is what it looks like. And I know that for distribution, usually you have to prove yourself in the market solo first. And so you would have to like get yourself into a number of stores. Like they, I remember Andrea told me you need to get yourself into 30 stores, retail shops. And so I emailed him and I said, I know the deal. Like I'll get myself into 30 stores in like the Vancouver Coastal Health region. And once I do that, do you mind if I reach out to you? And like, we can talk about potentially distributing. And right away, like he saw the value of the brand. He was like, no way, like we're taking you now. He didn't even taste them. He was like, we'll take this. Like they're an all, they do all natural shelf stable foods. And so they took us on immediately. And that was just like me emailing him after that. Same with some of the potential advisors, like saw them talk about something, reached out after. Everyone's super open and willing to help. And just started a relationship.
Mm, an authentic relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And so when you were trying to figure out your distribution channels, obviously online's huge these days, but you knew that you wanted to be in the retail space. Why was that?
Well, for e-commerce, like on our website,
yeah,
we've actually been doing a ton of sales since we opened up shop last week. But I think that's just like the first initial excitement. I've always kind of assumed it would be about 90% retail, 10% online via our store. That's probably even a little generous. It's probably gonna be less. Shipping is so expensive. Like so Canada Post is insane. It's so, so expensive for people to order. Like we already discount the per bag cost online, and with shipping, it's still more expensive than in store most of the time, unless they order over $100, then they get free shipping. But it's just like, I'm 100% down for Spud and Legends Hall and any kind of grocery gateway type delivery service. Yes. But I just don't think that that shipping cost is okay for people to want to just order 6 or 12, or it's too much. So for me, I baked the margins in for having a distributor and a salesperson and getting into retail. And there's like specific margins for each of those things that you have to have. Mm. And so I had to ensure, like looking at manufacturing partners, like, can they make it for a certain cost that fits in with that or not? Because we have costs too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, if online took off, that'd be great. Like I'd be happy to ship out products all the time, but it's just not what I've learned is real, realistic.
So because you touched on pricing, let's sort of go there for a second. So, you know, using the bottom up approach, obviously you're factoring all of the costs that you've got involved in, like you just mentioned, everybody's margins that they need to take along the way. Mm-hmm. Did you look at a top down approach, and did you know that you sort of had a market cap based on what your competitors were doing out there? And tell me about your sort of research and sort of how you arrived at your price point out in the world.
Yeah, I definitely looked at so many competitors. It's funny because like kiwi chips aren't a thing.
Yeah.
There are things like banana chips or apple chips, you know, full of sugar and additives a lot of the time, or there's some that are just like baked, which really takes away a lot of the nutrients. But I, you know, look, if you go into a store and you look at a pack of like 4 kiwis, which is like about what's in each bag.
Yeah.
You can't really buy that for less than $5. And for us, I was like, well, we take them and we make them into something more delicious and then package it and get it to you. And so I thought that a $6.99 price point was like pretty good for a natural product that like has nothing added. When I look at other brands, kind of like hippie snacks, they have some really nice like cauliflower crackers, and they do like avocado crisps and almond crisps and things like that. They're $5.99, but you know, it's a lot of like filler. Like I do love their products, but it's not like a direct natural product.
Got you. Yep.
And I think like, again, with scaling, I would love to get the price down because I want it to be accessible for everyone. But yeah, $6.99 was where it landed with the costs. And I did a ton of research with like customers and moms and like just people. And I was really surprised because I didn't hear any like blowback from that price, which I thought like, I was like, oh, is it too high? But people seem to be totally okay with it. So
yeah, that's really interesting.
But it was taking in the margin. Like, honestly, if my margins were smaller, because we're like right on for what you're supposed to have. It'd be great to double that or,
yeah.
Which I'm sure lots of products do, but I don't know. I think our price point is good for now.
Yeah.
And we'll really see how it goes. People keep on asking, cause we have this like tropical bag that has kiwi chips, pineapple and coconut, and people love the pineapple so much. And I've had already like many messages like, oh, can you just do a pineapple only bag? And I was like, I would love to do that, but that's like the most expensive ingredient. And so doing one, I was like, will you pay $12 for it? Like, cause that's how much it's going to cost.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, you know, if you think about how you're going to scale and grow your business over time, I would imagine that it would be the inclusion of new SKUs, like growing out your lines. So what's going to be your approach there? Are you going to take the same approach with your market research, or are you looking to look at alternative channels to sort of gain that knowledge and validation?
Yeah, I think it would be a little bit more structured than what I did.
Yeah.
And we would probably just be like hiring out to do the R&D. I really do think that as we grow, we can like, we focus on kiwis because they're amazing, but I think we could even expand and do other kinds of chips that are made in the same way. So not baked, like, but very much like nutrient dense chips. We'll see. I really want to just like nail these two and make sure people like them and then go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Focus on what's ahead of you. Like
I can get pretty crazy and like excited about stuff, and I need to ground myself sometimes and just focus on what's in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about your tools for sort of tracking and measuring and all of that kind of stuff, like coming from a tech background as well. What tools are you using in your kit to sort of operate your business?
So, you know, we use Google Analytics and all that stuff, you know, for our Facebook, we still do some online ads, like Facebook pixel tracking and all of that. But we also work with a really great marketing agency, called Piquant, that just do food. And so they give us reports every month of everything. And then with our distributor, we get reports from them of the turnover of the product, where it is, any kind of feedback. So we kind of rely on them for a lot of that. And then we use MailChimp as like sending out newsletters and talking to our customers as well.
Awesome. That's great. So when you're collecting all of your data, do you use a CRM system? Or I guess you're at a stage right now where you're sort of able to manage everything. And you're a team of one at the moment, or do you have any employees?
I have a couple part-time, but like, and then the rest is just consultants.
Outsourcing.
I kind of like the fact of just being able to not have to hire right away. I would in the future. Yes, for sure. Like, I think the next roles would be an operations manager, potentially in-house sales at some point, but, I'd like to keep it kind of small. I don't think it needs to, it's so funny because coming from tech, everyone's like, oh, you got an investment. Like you have to move into a fancy office and hire 100 people. Like that's not really what needs to happen here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the master of your own destiny in this case, I think, Sarah. Mm. Yeah, you've got it. And, you know, there's something to be said about, like you were saying, about the idea of growing a business, but then I think you may find yourself back in the position where you were, where you were looking to build a facility in Squamish. You know, you might get to a point where you're like, this is getting too much. Like I was really enjoying it when I had control over all of the processes. That's funny.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've touched on so much, Sarah, and I mean, you could honestly be a case study at a university for doing it the right way. Like,
okay, we just started.
I know, but what I mean is like, you know, on this podcast, I talk about the sort of the pack heavy mentality of going out there, doing everything that's required to make the right decisions, or at least give yourself the opportunity to make some decisions and clearly and well thought out decisions just by doing your market. Is that, that's Nora.
Hey girl. I think she sees a cat.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. I was just saying like that pack heavy mentality of going out there, doing your market research, doing your product development, getting all of the data required to make decisions, but also having the right people around you to ask the right questions and influence you in the right direction. So from that respect, like that's why I really wanted to have you on this podcast today, because when you came into our boardroom and we did sit around and have a chat, I picked up on that straight away, you know, and it was really obvious that you knew exactly what you were doing. So listen, if there was anything that you wanted to, or if say, for example, if you had a young entrepreneur come to you and say, hey, Sarah, I need some help here. Can you throw me some tips? Like what would be some key takeaways or key sort of guidance that you would give to somebody that was just starting out or they had an idea? What, like, where do you see the value in where would you spend your time again?
I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think like one of the things that is common is like we're impatient.
Yeah.
And we want things to happen really quickly. And what I've learned over time is things always take way more time, and they're always way more expensive than you think. And you know, everyone that I know is so excited. You know, you're so pumped and you've got this idea and it's like personal to you. So it really like hurts when people tell you that something might not be okay with it, but you have to talk to so many people about it, because like everything can look real rosy in your mind, but like there's lots of stuff you aren't thinking of. So surrounding yourself with people, going to events, be it virtual or like in person when we can, and finding people that like, one, you think you would get along with and that you like their story, or you respect their journey or what they've done, and you reach out to them. Don't say like, can I pick your brain, but like give them some definitive information about you and try to be able to, I don't know, take as much information from them as possible about their take on what you're doing. Because like that really helped me in both tech and now, just like getting that feedback. It's validating. And it could be hurtful, but you need to hear it. So yeah, just surrounding yourself with people who've done it before and who might be just a lot more experienced than you are. Because you don't know everything.
Yeah. And that's, you're totally right. We don't know much, do we? It's funny. And it's so character building, like you just said, getting that negative feedback and trying to put a positive spin on it, or using it as data and feedback to make some decisions mm-hmm. with to move forward. Yeah, totally critical. Sarah, we've gone through every question that I possibly had written down for you, and I didn't think that we were going to get through it all today. Is there anything that you would like to sort of mention about the launch of Chiwis? Like, where can people find you? Give everybody some insight that they'd love to hear.
Well, right now, so our distributor is working super hard to get Chiwis on shelves in BC. And yep. So, you know, it takes a bit of time for them to get listed, but you know, like we're going to soon be in Whole Foods and Spud and Choices and Nestor's and Philo. Right now, if you're like, oh my God, I just heard this cool podcast and I really want to try some, you can go to our website. It's www.chiwis.co. And we have a 10% off code, which is buddy10off. And it's all like 10 is spelt 10. And if you order over $100, you get free shipping. If not, like if you're in BC, it's not that bad, the shipping cost, but you know, or you could wait, up to you. We ship out a couple times a week, but soon they'll be in stores. So, you know, it's another thing. I'm like, I'm so impatient. When are they going to be in stores? But everyone has to do their job and there's moving parts. So they'll be around soon. And then, you know, we're looking to be involved in different kinds of, subscription boxes too, that are health, natural food type subscription boxes that are around. So, you know, things will start growing slowly but surely. And we just want to bring healthy snacks to people.
That's awesome, Sarah. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. Guys, anybody that's listening out there, I think that we've just learned so much from Sarah, and, you know, there are so many key takeaways, you know, whether it is, like I mentioned before, about spending a lot of time doing your market research, product validation, and getting the right circle of people around you, ensuring that you spend some time getting your mind right daily to engage in your business. And you know, like Sarah just said, ensuring that if you do get feedback, take it on board, even if it is really hard to hear, and using it as data that you can work with. And they're my key takeaways from the conversation, Sarah. So thank you so much. Yeah, no worries. I really enjoyed having you on board, and I'd love to catch up again in sort of 12 to 18 months time and hear where you are and go from there as well.
Okay. No awesome. Problem.
All right. Thank take you. It easy. Cheers. Bye. Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions from today's episode or would like to know more about what I can do to help you achieve your packaging vision, you can reach me directly at hayden@thepackheavypodcast.com. You could DM me on Instagram @thepackheavypodcast, or we could also connect on LinkedIn and start a conversation there. I'll see you next week.